Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. Can everybody hear me? I'm just going to grab some water. Can everybody hear me? Awesome, good. So today's sermon, double-edged reality. When I was preparing for this sermon, I realized I'm a little bit obsessed with being organized. Everything has to be in the perfect position, has to be in the right place, it has to be labeled, it has to make sense. And I realized this when I thought about the places that I've worked at and the things that I've done. So I used to work in a shop called Jane Norman. And we had a small stockroom, and the first time I went into the stockroom, I was like, this doesn't actually make sense. There was one set of coats on this side, and then again over that side, there was rubbish on the floor, and I was just like, I can't do it. So I said to my manager, do you mind if I just clear it out and make it make sense? And she was like, go for it. So I did that, and after it made perfect sense, and it was lovely. And then my job after that, I worked in M&M World London. Has anybody been there? Anybody been there? Okay, one person. You should go there, it's fun. Four floors of chocolatey fun is what we say. And in M&M World, I worked in the mix lab, so I was in there. And to be fair, it was a tidy place because we used to handle food, so every day we had to wipe down the surfaces and mop the floor. But I don't know if you can see in the picture, there's shelves at the back. And so when we would make chocolate, we made them in shapes. There were hearts or there was teddy bears, and you could put different color M&Ms in there. And we would stack it up. And sometimes, just sometimes, we'll be a little bit too messy. And so it was my kind of duty I took on to make sure that it was always in a good structure. It made sense. And then after that, I worked in Ibis Styles Hotel in London. And again, I worked with the food and beverage team. And so we had a stock room where they kept the stuff for the bar, so the alcohol, the soft drinks. And honestly, the first time I walked into that stockroom, I was like, it just can't stay like this. It cannot. And the thing is, they had so many shelves, there was enough space, but for some reason, everything was just all over the place. So I took it upon myself again to reorganize the stockroom. And when I finished, it was perfect. You had all the white wines, the red wines, the rosé, the champagne. Underneath was all the Fever Tree drinks. Underneath that was the Coke and the lemonade. Even the spirits, I put that in order. So you had the dark spirits and the light spirits. Underneath was tequila. I was like, yeah, this is the stockroom to be in. I swept the floor and mopped it. I put on the wall instructions on how to keep the stockroom tidy. And then the first week went by and it was still perfect. And then the second week came, and I opened the door, and it was a mess again. And I was like, what's wrong with you people? Like, didn't you like how it was before? I was so disappointed, so upset. And I'm sure as I give you these stories, you can think of some times where you've been in the same situation. Maybe you clean the whole house, it's spick and span, and the doorbell goes, and it's the kids or the grandkids, and you're like, oh my Lord, I love them, but really, today? Or maybe you're cooking dinner, you have to rush out quickly, you say, just watch the food, I'll be back in 5 minutes. You get back and the dinner's burnt. And these things happen to us, and I'm bringing it up because when we think about how we felt in those situations, we can begin to think about how Paul felt after having gone into the city of Corinth and telling them about Jesus Christ and him crucified and how to live life in Christ and the church then being built. And then he goes off to other places to share the word of God. And in less than 3 years later, he hears that the church in Corinth, they're not doing too well. You see, he learned that after teaching them about being unity, unified in Christ, there was disunity, there was divisions in the church. After teaching them about being free in Christ, they took that as free to do whatever we want. We can sleep with whoever we want to and do what we want. After the Holy Spirit giving them the gifts of the Spirit to build the church up, instead they was using it to build themselves up. And after giving them that truth that Jesus Christ was resurrected, and so we will too, there were people in the church that were saying that's not true. It seemed like all his efforts, all his preaching, all his teaching had come to nothing. And you see in the book of Corinthians, he says that they were acting worldly, like mere human beings. But you see, to understand the problems that were going on in the church in Corinthians, you have to understand the city as it was. See, it was a bit of a mixed bunch. You had the Romans and you had the Greeks. It was a place where trade happened between Rome and Asia. And so because of that, you had people coming in with different religions, different philosophies, sexual immorality, it was on the rise. Because it was a place of trade, it was also very wealthy, but there were also people who were very, very poor. And so you see, it was a place where just a mixed bunch of people, a little bit like London, to be honest. And what the problem was is that the church was allowing the culture around them to influence them. And as one commentator puts it very well, the church was in the world as it had to be, but the world was in the church as it ought not to be. You see, what I'm not going to do today, I'm not going to go through the letter and pick out what it was they were doing wrong and what Paul says they should do right and how that can be transferred to us today. I want us to look a little bit deeper at what is the real issue here? What was Paul's issue? Why was he telling them there's a better way to behave? And when we look at what he calls them, he says they were acting worldly. And then he says, I'm sending Timothy to teach you the way of life in Christ. So already we see there's something going on here. They're acting worldly and they need to know how to live in Christ. And as I had those two things together, I thought, well, what better book to go to than the letter that he sent to the Romans? And that's where we get Romans chapter 8, verse 8 to 9 to, and I'll read it to you. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to God. So, today's sermon, as I already said, it is on the two cosmic realms. If you're taking notes, that is the title for today. You see, when you read Romans chapter 8, verses 8 to 9, it's clear that there's two cosmic realms going on. There's a realm of the flesh, and then there's a realm of the Spirit. How many of you would say that you love watching Netflix, series on Netflix? Don't be ashamed to put your hand up. It's fine. I do it all the time. So there's quite a few of you. Okay. A quick question. Those of you who do watch series on Netflix, what do you think was the number one or one of the number one series on Netflix in 2019? You can shout it out. Power. What's that? Power. No, not Power. Any of other ideas? It was one of those, but that's not the one I'm getting at. Any other ideas? Number one series on Netflix? Stranger Things, thank you. Do you know the story of Stranger Things? Just a little bit. Okay. So Stranger Things was one of the most popular series on Netflix. And I'm going to show you the figures. I'll tell you the figures. So, research outside of Netflix showed that in one weekend, in the US alone, 26.4 million households watched Stranger Things. And then Netflix, they gave their own research and they showed that globally, 40.7 million households watched Stranger Things on one weekend. So yeah, Stranger Things, they did pretty well, they did. You see, the main story in Stranger Things is that, let me show you. You have two realms, okay? So you have the earthly realm. And underneath them, which is called upside down, you have the kind of evil realm. And then there you have the Demogorgon, who's the evil one. And there's a gate that's been made in between the wall. That's the gate there. And so now this gate has been made. It enables the Demogorgon and the evil realm to come out to Earth and to take over. And of course, you always have the heroes, which are the children who are trying to save the world from the Demogorgon and from the evil realm. But why am I talking about Stranger Things today? What has that got to do with God? What has that got to do with Corinthians? What has that got to do with Paul? And I'm bringing it up because although it was a series and it's made for entertainment purposes, it was fantasy-like, there are actually a few principles in there that I believe Paul would use to explain to us the two cosmic realms that are happening in the world today. So like I said, in Stranger Things, the storyline is that you have the two different realms. So underneath them is the evil realm, and on top is Earth, where everything is perfect and fine, and they're trying to stop evil from coming in to the earthly realm. But you see, if you read the Bible, then you'll come to understand that actually the evil realm isn't separate. The evil realm is already all over the earth. You see, since Adam and Eve, because of their fall, now humanity, when they're born, they're already born into this evil realm of darkness that's all over us. You say, well, Jazz, where's your proof? And I will say, well, the word of God is my proof. But if you need further evidence, then look at the news. Further yet, why don't you listen to the lyrics that are coming out on our songs? Or have a look at the agendas that are being pushed on society. Come on, it's no secret that the world is an evil place. Do you think it's a coincidence people are going to New Age spirituality to look for love, look for peace, look for happiness, for healing, to be restored, even to look for God, but they're looking in all the wrong places? You see, it's this darkness that covers the world already, which Paul refers to as the flesh, the realm of the flesh. But the difficulty for us is that when we think of flesh, we think of our bodies. And you see, the danger in that is when you think of it like that, when you read Paul's letters, you begin to think that our bodies are evil. Our bodies are not evil. Everything that God made is good. You see, Paul, when he talks about the realm of the flesh, he talks about it being something that has influence over our minds and over our bodies. Check this out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8, he said, those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. Again, in Romans chapter 7, verse 5, for when we were in the realm of flesh. And then I found something that was even more interesting. So, sorry, he also calls the realm of the flesh worldly, dominion of darkness, present evil age, or kingdom of air. And when I looked up the definition of a realm, it said this. A kingdom, or a domain within which anything occurs, prevails, or dominates. You see, when we think of the realm of flesh being a kingdom, it makes sense why Paul talks about there being a ruler of the kingdom of air. And it makes sense when you think about sin dominating the realm of flesh. You see, every kingdom has a ruler. And in that case, the ruler is Satan. And every kingdom is dominated by something. And in this case, the realm of flesh is dominated by sin. Remember what God said to Cain. He said, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. But you must rule over it. Even God speaks about sin having the ability to have influence over his creation. Now, I don't have all the time to talk about the nature of sin. That needs a sermon on its own. But a good place to start, as Pastor John Piper puts it, is sin is an insult to God. Let's take idolatry, for example. You see, God created us, and it's because of him that we're able to breathe. It's because of him that we even exist. And that alone means that we should acknowledge him, we should worship him, we should praise him. He deserves us to obey him. But idolatry, you know, it says, no, forget all that. I'm going to put something in ahead of you, God. I'm going to replace something in ahead of you. And for most people, the thing that they put in front of God is themselves. You say, I'm going to worship myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to obey my own rules. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. See, how can you please God if you don't even acknowledge him? You only have to read at least one book in the New Testament to find out how much God hates idolatry. He's a jealous God. You see, when we choose to replace ourselves with God and you become selfish, you get a world that looks like the one that we live in now. I'm going to read something for you. It's from The Message, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. And he's talking about those who have selfish desires. He says, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods and magic show religions. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. An all-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or to be loved. Divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, and I could go on. And I'll read it to you in the NRSV, Galatians again, chapter 5, 19-20. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you see, this is one of the problems that Paul had with the Corinthians, because some of those things I listed out were happening inside of the church. And as I continue, we'll find out why that was such a big problem for Paul. So, let's go back to Stranger Things for a minute. In Stranger Things, does anyone know who this character is? Oh, guys. So this is Eleven. So she's the main character in Stranger Things. She wasn't my favorite character, but she's the main character. And she's the main character because she is the one who has the power, the supernatural power to defeat the Demogorgon. And you see, she goes like this. And when she does that, she attacks the Demogorgon. And so she is the hero. She's the one that closes the gate that you saw. Well, is it closed? That's how it ended. We don't know if it's closed. But she's the one who supposedly closes the gate because of her supernatural power. You see, in Stranger Things, they needed her to rescue them to make sure evil didn't enter the world. But the reality is, like I said before, evil's already in the world. And so we need somebody to save us from the evil that was already in the world. And Jesus did that on the day that he was crucified on the cross, on the day that he rose again from the grave. The fact that he rose again showed that he defeated sin and death on that cross. Whew. He defeated sin and death on that cross. And for those of us who believe in what he did on that cross, we are resurrected to new life the day that we believe. We're resurrected to new life. You see, sometimes when we think about salvation, we think about, yeah, when we die, we're going to raise to life and we're going to be with God for eternity in a new heaven and in a new earth. And yes, whilst that is part of it, my goodness, when you were saved, you was taken from the realm of flesh into the realm of the spirit. You're a new creation in Christ. Your new life starts the day that you believe in him. That's salvation. What's the point of going to an unbeliever who's going through hell, who feels like they're depressed, who's about to end their own life, and you say to them, oh, you need to be saved so you can go to heaven? Well, thanks, mate, but I need a new life right now. And that's what God offers us. That's what Jesus offers us, is new life there and then now. You're a new creation. You have value. You're light in the darkness. You're no longer a sinner, but you are righteous. You're no longer separated from God, but you are with God. You are seated in the heavenly realms in heaven. You have every single thing you need to continue in this world. And when you die, you'll be raised to life in eternity with me in heaven. We say amen, but we don't act like it. We don't act like it. I get it, I do. All this truth. But sometimes we don't feel like that truth. But you know what? It's not about your feelings. It's about the truth. Too many times we let our feelings dictate our truth instead of the truth dictate our feelings. You are a new creation. As long as you belong in the realm of the spirit, you are a new creation. Look at your neighbor and tell them they're a new creation. Tell them again that they're a new creation. You see, 11, she's only human. And every time she did that little thing and defeated the Demogorgon, she would get weak. And she'd be out of it for a couple of hours or a couple of days. But Jesus isn't just human. He's fully God. His strength doesn't fail. He's in the business of saving. He is able to save. He's willing to save. He wants to save. He didn't create you to go sit in the realm of flesh. What for? He created you to be in the realm of the spirit, and that is why he died on the cross, so you can experience a new life, experience who he created you to be. Some of you here might know that you're in the realm of the flesh. Some of you listening online, because we're going online today, some of you listening online might know that you're still in the realm of the flesh. Let me tell you something. God didn't create you to stay there. He didn't create you to stay there. He didn't die on the cross for no reason. Some of you are thinking about giving up right now. You're saying, what's the purpose? Well, there is a purpose. God created you for a purpose. There's value in your life. Never let anybody tell you that you're worth nothing, because to Jesus, you're worth everything. And if you're here today and you feel like, I need to make a decision, I need to do something, please don't leave her and not speak to anybody. Where are the people that are in the prayer team? Can you raise your hands? So as some of you might know, or some of you might not know, they will sit at the front. And if you need prayer, please just go and talk to them. Even if you don't need prayer, but you have something on your mind, you want to talk, then don't leave. Go and speak to them. See, one of the things we need to know, those of us who are in the realm of the spirit, is that we've been called out. We're holy. We've been made holy. We're sanctified. We're justified because of what Christ done. And when we're called out and we're made holy, there's things in the world we need to say goodbye to. You was cut off from the realm of flesh. It has no dominion, no power over you anymore. There's a new way of living. And again, this is why Paul was so upset with the Corinthians. He said, you guys, you're acting worldly. Don't you know you've been cut off from the world a long time ago? You're a new creation. There's a new way to live. And in every single letter that you read from Paul, he has that kind of message behind it. You see, they need a reminder then, and we need reminding now of who we are when we're living in the realm of the spirit. When I came to Christ, there were a few things, well, there was loads of things that had to go, and I'm still getting rid of them. But one of the main things I was very much addicted to, soca music and carnival, mainly because my grandparents were Guyanese, and so I was brought up on the soca. And when I got to the age where I was able to go and do carnival, I went off and I did it continuously, probably about 6 or 7 years. And I knew I had to let go of that. Some people were like, well, Jazz, why? It's your culture. There's no culture that comes above God's culture. Amen. There is no culture that comes above God's culture. What business have I got to do in carnival? If I put up 2 pictures of carnival in here, you'll tell me to take it down. What business have I got listening to some of the soca music? When I played it in here, you told me to take it off. What business has light got to do in a place of darkness? None whatsoever. When we come to Jesus, when we're in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, there's things we have to let go of. And I hear some of you saying, I know, well, Jazz, I'm in the realm of the Spirit, and I know I belong to Christ, but every day I'm battling with sin, and it feels like it's taking over me. So what is it? What's happening? And you see, that's what Paul would call the crossover of the ages. See, yes, we're in the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit, but the realm of the flesh is still about. And so there's that crossover, and so there always will be a battle. And we recognize that. You see, that's why it's important that you come back next week, Sunday, to hear the rest of the sermon series. Because yes, it's not easy. Yes, there's good and there's evil. As we work through this series, we're going to try and lay out how we can be people of the Spirit and be victorious like God has already said we are. Amen. We're going to go to our next hymn. And I'm not going to stand here because I want you to focus on the cross and what actually happened on that day. You see, when Christ was crucified, and when you believed in what he did for you, your old self was crucified also. And when Jesus was resurrected to new life again, you too was resurrected to new life again. So as we sing the song, you're no longer a slave to fear, but you are a child of God. Please believe it. If you don't believe it, then you know what? Make it your prayer. Say, God, I need to believe this. So I'm going to come down, and when we sing the hymn, we'll focus on the cross. And then I'll come up and I'll give the benediction and the final prayer. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.